Praise God. Oh, my. I just want to thank you for all your prayers. I want to thank you for the support of this church. We couldn't do what we do and what we've done. It really come home to me this year, going back to Rwanda, because I walked on the grounds of that building, and it's a beautiful place now. And it's surrounded. I mean, the city has grown out there. When we first went there, it was outside of the skirts, out on the outskirts of town. There was nothing there. It was a hillside covered in brush. And we drove into that place. And I remembered the day when God sent us over there. Me and Betty flew in there with nothing. We didn't know anybody. We didn't know how to buy property. We didn't know how to do anything. We just knew God said go. And we went. And God had everything provided for us when we got there. When I got off the airplane, Augustine, who is our leader over there, he was just a young man that through a course of emails we got in contact with, just asked him to pick us up at the airport and find us a place to stay. That's all his job was. We got off the airport, and he was standing there with a piece of paper with our name misspelled on it, smiling ear to ear. He didn't know what we looked like, didn't know who we were. Every time he knew it was a white couple from America, and every time a white couple would get off the airplane, come through the doors, he would hold the sign up. And so when we finally come out, I saw our name. And immediately we were just bonded together, and we have worked together now for 16 years. We've ordained him as a bishop. He is over several churches, and actually he has helped build so many churches and ministries in Rwanda, because for years he was an evangelist, and he would go and build up the churches, and he helped start. So the Assemblies of God wouldn't have what they have there. They've got a tremendous work there, but they wouldn't have that if it wasn't for Augustine, because he's the one that plowed the ground and preached the crusades and won the souls, and you know, and so he's got a big investment there. But I remembered me and Betty, we finally decided on this piece of property. And I remember me and Betty standing on that brush-covered hillside, nothing there. And we stood there and held hands and declared, there will be a large church on this property. There will be a Bible school on this property. And we prayed and asked God and declared it and spoke it on that brush-covered property. And today there is a large church there. There is a Bible school there that is training people. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, God answers prayer. Oh, it's amazing. Praise God. I could blow up in so many different directions today. I'm trying to pace myself and just be calm. Hallelujah. I wish I could do that African dance, because I'd do it right now if I could. They are amazing. They can do that for 2-3 hours at a time. And it's just the stamina and the strength that it takes to do that. I mean, it's just not a little move. I mean, they get with it. And smile ear to ear. They are so happy the whole time. Praise God. But thank God for the growth. We actually now have 4 churches in the Congo. Amen. Not just in Rwanda. We have went across the border into Republic of the Congo now, and we have 4 churches in the Republic of Congo. Thank God. Praise God. He is amazing. Let me read this, okay? Quit. Let me read this. Oh, praise God. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. There's one thing that God is having to cure the church of in America today, and that is the fear of hardship. We are afraid to suffer. We're afraid of the reprisal of people. We're afraid of the reprisal of our government. We're afraid we sign up. There are so many in America today that have signed up for the blessings, but they abhor the cost. But if you're going to walk with God, there are blessings, but there's a cost. You have to deny yourself. Amen. Take up your cross and follow me. There's amazing blessings in walking with God. I mean, God is such an amazing Father, and he has blessed us. But I got to tell you something. The Word said that we'll be glorified with him if we are also willing to suffer with him. You can't remove the two. You can't separate it. You can't prophesy it out. You can't declare it out. You can't claim it out. You're going to have to be able to face the hardships and the hard choices. You're going to have to learn to stand when everything's going wrong, still stand in faith if you're going to have the glory. Amen. These young men didn't sign up for the benefits of the military. There's some benefits. They offer some benefits. But I got to tell you something. If they didn't get deployed, they have to, without fear and hesitation, go right into the face of the enemy and fight. Amen. That's what they signed up for. They can't put that uniform on. And then when the fight starts, say, excuse me, I was supposed to get a college education. This isn't what I signed up for. When those orders come down, guess what? You pick up your rifle, you join arms with your fellow soldier, and you march into battle. And it doesn't matter what the cost is. Can you imagine? I have over and over thought about those young men in those boats getting ready to storm that beach. One after another coming, watching and seeing that as that front shield, that ramp that was protecting them fell, the machine gun from those pillbox, whatever you call them up on top, were already firing. Hitting that, and when it went down, the bullets began to rip through the bodies that was in the ship. And yet they had to get up and push forward. And they kept pushing forward as people were being killed in front of them. And finally, some of them began to make it to the shore. And then some of them made it beyond the shore. And some of them finally made it to the top. And they finally won because they did not run when the opposition came. Amen. We've got to be healed of our retreat. Amen. Our backsliding. When it gets tough, we've got to quit running off. Amen. Praise God. We got too many runners today. Every time things start to get hard, they get called somewhere else. God gets blamed for so many exits that he had nothing to do with. Amen. But whether you're a soldier in the military of this nation, or you're a soldier in the armies of God, we have got to learn to face the beach and keep pushing on, because the guy that just died in front of us has wasted his life if we don't keep going. We have so many that has gone on before us. I was standing over there a while ago thanking God that we have a Memorial Day in America to honor the soldiers that has died. And I was standing over thinking, Lord, have mercy. Why doesn't the church have a Memorial Day honoring the soldiers of God that have went on before us and gave us the right to be here? Got us here. They prayed the prayers. They fought the fight. They stood against the opposition. They refused to bow down. They preached the gospel. They went against the popularity of their day. And we are here today because of what they did, the price that they paid. I have been blessed to be a minister of the gospel, preaching the gospel for 42 years. And it's only because there was people in front of me that took the bullets while I developed. Amen. Gave us opportunity to grow while they fought the battles. We thought we was fighting battles, but we hadn't even got off the boat yet. Amen. Have to develop. To see the present, if you want to see the glory, if you want to see the glory of God, you've got to quit flinching from the cost. Personal sacrifice that has to happen. Whether that's your sacrifice of your time in prayer, sacrifice of food when you're fasting, sacrifice of what you want, doing what God wants instead of what we want. Amen. Hallelujah. On the way back, I hate to tell this, but on the way back, I was so tired and miserable. I love being in these foreign countries, always have. I'm as at home overseas as more than I am here. I mean, I absolutely love it. Always have. And me and Betty have been blessed to spend a lot of time overseas. And I told Betty, I said, why is it that God sent me, every place God has sent me takes at least two long flights? I mean, I didn't get Haiti, I didn't get Mexico, I didn't get the Bahamas. I got the other side of the world. India, Africa, Philippines. And it takes a lot to get there. A lot of misery. And it takes a lot of misery to get home. Because there's times things absolutely just simply do not work. And there's problems, and sometimes it can take you days of pushing and trying to get through air parts, trying to find flights, trying to deal with all that. And it can be so difficult and so hard. And as we went over there this year, we faced some physical battles. We didn't talk a lot about them, but we faced some physical battles. And we were wore out. We were tired. It took us days to get out of there. And we had to be at the airport at midnight every time. And then, you know, if our flight got canceled, then we'd have to load everything back up. I think we loaded and unloaded our luggage 8 times. Through all the searches and through all the stuff we had to go. 8 times we loaded and unloaded our luggage trying to get out of Rwanda. And we were on the way back, and they flew us. Well, the only flights we could get is they flew us 5.5 hours the wrong direction. So that we could get on a flight and fly a whole lot longer than we were supposed to get back to the United States. I think it's a six, from Qatar to Dallas was a 16-hour flight, I think. And it should have been 2 8-hour flights, but instead, anyway, we spent about 24 hours flying. And in about halfway point in that flight, I was absolutely miserable. I don't like tight spaces. I don't like flying. Not because I'm afraid, I just don't like being trapped. You know what I'm talking about? And so I'm sitting on that flight. I had the inside by the window, which can be nice, except they make you keep the shades down where you can't see out. And so I'm sitting in the seat, and Qatar Air, I don't know if all them people are just skinny or what. They had the smallest seats I've ever seen on a flight like that. And I was sitting like this for 16 hours. They'd serve food and you had to eat like this. Trying to, you know. And about halfway back on that flight, all of a sudden I literally felt like I was shaking on the inside. And all of a sudden I thought, I don't know how many more of these I got in me. I mean, sometimes you have those thoughts. I've been doing this for 35 years. And I thought, man, I don't know how many more of these trips I got in me. Because I was just exhausted. But you know what? Next time the Lord says, hey, I need you to go somewhere, guess what's going to happen? Me! Send me! I'll go! Oh, come on, somebody. I'll go! That's the attitude that's got to get into the heart of the child of God today. Is we gotta get the attitude when God starts saying, hey, I need something to happen. We start saying, hey, I'll go! I'll go! Pick me! Amen. I told Damon and Betty when it was over there this time, and they did extremely well. I told him, I said, you know, most of the time I feel like the least capable person in the world to do this. Because I just don't fit a lot of the stuff you have to do. But once we get there, what? Hey! Once I get off that airplane, and I finally get my Bible out, and we get to church, and we start preaching the gospel, everything fades away, and all of a sudden, there ain't anywhere I'd rather be than right here. Why? Because of the glory and the presence of God, because we have been commissioned. If we're going to have the glory, we got to have the grief. We got to endure the grief to get to the glory. There can't be a revival atmosphere like we had this morning without the hours and hours of praying people on their knees declaring and saying, God, we want you. You can't have it without the grief. You got to go through the times of isolation. You got to go through the times when it's rough. You got to get together and pray when it seems like nothing's going right. You got to worship when there's no reason you feel like in your heart you can worship. But yet we have a glory that is before us that is on the other side of a little bit of grief. And if we just keep pressing and keep pressing and keep pressing, next thing you know, there's a glory that begins to come and we begin to experience who he is. I need a little bit of that African in me. I mean, I need to be able to move a little bit.
always tell them when I go over there, I say, you guys convinced me of one thing. White boys can't dance. Amen. We was preaching in one church. You know, and there's hardships. You just got to go through the hardships. Just like here. There's always hardships. There's always inconveniences. There's always things you have to go through to get to where you need to be. There's pressing. There's praying. There's making your mind be disciplined. There's focusing. And we got to this one church. It was somewhere around noon. We just traveled, packed in a vehicle so tight we couldn't move, and we just traveled for 3 hours. Finally got there about noon. I had 4 churches to preach in that day, and we didn't get there till noon. So we get there, they worship. Finally, time for me to preach. I get up, we start preaching. I mean the glory and presence of God. People came. We prayed for a bunch of people. And then the pastor come up to us and said, we have a young lady in the back of the church that is paralyzed. Could you pray for her? I felt my body running. I took off. It wasn't like, oh man, that's a hard case. I felt myself take off. We all rushed to the back of the church, and here's this young lady laying there on her side with her face against the wall. And I said, what's wrong with her? They said she has no strength, that her legs don't work. And they said if we try to stand her up, her legs are just limp and she can't eat. And there was, you know, I don't know what all was wrong with her. And I mean, veracity came on me. All of us. We start praying. I start commanding demons to come out of her in the name of Jesus. Deliver her, sit her. And I said, sit her up. And the 2 ladies grabbed her and set her up. And we just kept praying for her, commanding the demon spirits to let go of her. And I began to see a change taking place. And then I said, pick her up. Pick her up. I told Augustine, tell him, pick her up. But she had no strength in her legs, so she couldn't stand. I said, pick her up. They picked her up. And when they picked her up, her legs went just like that. Straightened out. And she was able to stand. Got her up on her feet, standing straight up. We kept praying, declaring the glory of God over her. And all of a sudden, I heard myself saying, walk, walk, walk. We began to command her to walk in Jesus' name. And the women started trying to pull her forward, and her feet started dragging like this as they pulled her forward. And then all of a sudden, she started walking. And pretty soon she walked all the way to the front of the church and all the way back. God raised her up. God healed her. God took a limp body, a paralyzed body, and made that body work. Hallelujah. Because of the glory of God, because of the power of the name of Jesus, there is glory. Hallelujah. Too many of the people of God are missing the glory because they're afraid of some grief. There's too many that are running instead of running to the battle. We've got to stop running away, and we've got to run. We got to run straight into the fray. Hallelujah. Glory. Yeah. Glory. I saw that girl walking, and I just stood there thinking, whoa, Wow. She was paralyzed. She's walking. Hallelujah. I was kind of like Augustine when we gave him the keys to that Toyota Land Cruiser. He kept saying, I'm dreaming. I'm dreaming. Then he'd say, my heart is flying. My heart is flying. Hallelujah. That's how I felt standing there watching that girl walk to the front of the church and all the way back. I kept thinking, I'm dreaming. I think I'm dreaming. And then they wanted to feed us because it's lunchtime. And the food there has improved dramatically. Whoa. Thank God. I kept looking at Damon and Betty saying, man, you guys are being spoiled. Because they've developed. There's actually starting to be a little bit of a middle class there, which is just a miracle. It's starting to develop. We were sitting there. They fed us a meal there. Every meal is goat meat. Bananas of all kinds. They got five different kinds of bananas. They boil the bananas, they fry the bananas, they eat the bananas raw, they make salads out of the bananas, they make soup out of the bananas. You're gonna eat bananas. There's gonna be a banana. If you're gonna eat, there's gonna be a banana. And many times a whole bunch of them. And I don't like bananas. But I eat them. You haven't lived till you've eaten a boiled plantain. That's this long and that big around. And you got to eat that whole thing. Amen. In Jesus' name, I command myself to eat this. You're going to eat this, boy. They decided to feed us lunch there. Had food prepared for us in this little town. I got to tell you something. In that one church in the eastern province on this mountainside, I've seen two paralyzed people healed now in that one church. I don't know what the devil's trying to do in that little village, but this is the second paralyzed person that I've seen healed, raised up, and able to walk. I think it's a demonic oppression that has to be broken. Hallelujah. When it breaks off of them, then they're able to move. And we were sitting there eating, and they have this new thing, peas and carrots now, that you eat every meal. Amen. There's some different stuff that they've really developed in. They had French fries. I thought Betty Jane was going to shout and cry when she saw those French fries. It was like, whoa, glory. We were sitting there eating. And all of a sudden the pastor of that church is a lady. And all of a sudden she starts looking like this. Big old smile coming on her face. She said, look. We looked. We didn't know what she was looking at. She said, she's eating. Hallelujah. That young lady is paralyzed, hadn't been able to eat. And there she was sitting back there with food and she was eating. And the pastor just kept saying, she's eating. She couldn't eat. She's eating. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. We serve a God that is able to do above and beyond anything we can imagine. But we just got to get past a little bit of grief, a little bit of hardship, a little bit of sacrifice. But on the other side, there's a reciprocal blessing that is laying there waiting for us to get there so that we can walk into it and pick it up like Elisha grabbing the mantle and saying, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I'm going to see the glory of the Lord.
I got to tell you something, Daniel. When Daniel went in the lion's den, Daniel was going to win one way or the other. If the lions would have ate him, he'd have been in the presence of God in the next little bit. He was going to win one way or the other. But God decided that the lions couldn't eat him that day. And so instead, Daniel stood up, made a decision, took a stand for God, ended up in the lion's den. And he was standing there, and he had two exits in front of him. One was into the presence of God. The other was in revival. And God decided that it wasn't time for Daniel to die. And so he shut the lion's mouth. And the next thing you know, the king who put him in there was standing up top saying, Daniel, are you still alive? And Daniel said, I'm still here. And the king said, we will serve Jehovah God from now on, because somebody with a little bit of, oh, don't tell me God can't do this again. Don't tell me God can't do this again. Don't tell me God can't heal the sick. Don't tell me God can't make the lame walk and the dumb talk and the blind see. Don't tell me God can't cast devils out of people that are bound and need help. I'm going to tell you something. If we get our faith back into the blood of Jesus and back into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll begin to see the glory. But we got to quit running away. Every time it gets rough, every time we don't like something, every time it doesn't go our way, every time somebody hurts my little feelings, we get up and we run off. But it's time for the children of God to stop getting hurt. It's time for the children of God to stop being afraid and stop doubting. And when somebody steps on you, stomps on you, walks all over you, you get back up and keep heading in the same direction, because you know who you are. You know what your purpose is. You know why you were born, and you were born for the glory of Almighty God. And I'm not going to let anything steal my glory that God's got laid up for me. Hallelujah. I should be just totally wore out this morning, but I am not. There's a presence. We as the body of Christ in this country are making a decision right now. As Christians, we are making a decision. There are many that are making the decision to appease and back up and just hope they have compassion on us. I don't want their sympathy. I don't want the devil pat me on the head and saying, be a nice boy. I'm going to hit him right in the face. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. There's only one person I want patting me on the back, and that's Jesus himself. Hallelujah. I came home mean, didn't I? Hallelujah. I've always been a little too militant for a lot of people, but I'm just militant. I'm that way. Praise God. When the fight starts, I'm ready to fight, you know. Praise God, when push comes to shove, I'm probably going to be shoving. Amen. Glory. back when they're shutting everybody down, I shut this church down for a couple of weeks, went online, and finally I said, that's it. I've had it.
Sister Betty said, they'll arrest you. I said, if Taney County wants that on their hands, let them come. We're going to glorify God. We're going to worship God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's time to get back together and praise the name of the Lord God Almighty. Amen. When I was a young preacher, this dear sister right here, Sister Hooten, was a Sunday school teacher of us young adults. And she asked different one of us in the class, she said, what do you need prayer for? And I was sitting there thinking, what do I need prayer for? And you got to understand, I have mellowed so much. I mean, I have mellowed so much over the years. And it finally come my time. Sister Sue said, Brother Tim, what do you want prayer for? I said, you know, I think I need a little more of the fruits of the Spirit. And without hesitation, Sister Sue said, oh, my Jesus, yes. Oh, glory. Amen. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. I've never forgot that. Her reaction let me know that I probably needed to pray for a little more of the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. But I've always had this attitude, you never get anywhere or anything if you're not willing to fight for it. If you're not willing to take a stand. If you're not willing to move forward. Amen. Complacency has never built the kingdom of God. I'll tell you what builds the kingdom of God is people that are willing to look the opposition in the face, look the devil in the eye, and say, you don't have authority over me. You don't tell me what to do. I'm going to come forward. And if you don't want to get stepped on, you better take a step back. If you don't want to get pushed down, you better get out of the way. That's the attitude that the body of Christ has got to adopt. We have people that are bound and lost, and the devil has hold of them, and we're standing there saying, please, Mr. Devil, let go of them. No! We got to square off with him and say, you're either going to let go of him or we're coming after you with everything we got. And we've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and they know how to take care of you. They've already whipped you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I didn't even have notes this morning. Hallelujah. I walked in here this morning, the glory of God so powerful. First service we went to over there, first service we got to, we walked in there, and they were having a day of fasting and praying. The church was as all together. And they decided to let us come and be a part of that and let us preach and minister. I walked in there. We wasn't there just a few minutes, and I was shaking all over. The glory and presence of God was so powerful. I thought, God, I don't know how much this I can take. And Augustine called me up to the platform, and he said, greet the people. I went up there and grabbed the microphone and started preaching about the power and presence of God. And we preached for about 15 minutes, and all of a sudden Augustine said, oh, just you're supposed to just greet. Preach later. Preach later. I handed the mic back to him. I walked off and I was standing there. I mean, I literally felt the presence of God to the point that my body was vibrating. And I was standing there saying, come on, let me up there again. Give me that microphone. Hallelujah. We're going to preach the gospel because we've got a Lord and Savior that died on the cross and rose again and shed his blood, and he has victory today, and he's here right now. I walked in here this morning and I thought, oh God, this didn't happen. This atmosphere didn't come just because all of a sudden you decide to show up one day. He doesn't just show up. We've had that terminology for years. Man, God showed up today. I got to tell you something. He shows up every day. We don't. We're the ones don't show up. Sometimes we show up, we're more sensitive to him. Other times we're so carnal, God couldn't. If he hit us in the head with a two before, he couldn't get our attention. I walked in here this morning and I said, oh God, I know why this atmosphere is here. Because there's been people praying. We've been pushing forward. We've been declaring the word of God, and we've been after the presence of God. Isn't it amazing how the hunger of God comes with contentment of God? You can be so hungry for God, you can't understand it, and yet somehow the hunger is satisfying. How do you explain that? The seeking after God himself is satisfying. Hallelujah. And I got to tell you something. It's not just in Africa where God works. You know what? The only reason that happened is because we took it with us. I've heard people say, man, you can go to Africa and miracles happen. It's just better over there. It's like an island. If you don't take it with you, you don't have it. Amen. There's not some kind of magical thing that happens. If you're not ready, if you don't take it with you, it'll whip you. It'll stomp you in the ground. Come on, somebody. Amen. You're fighting demons. And they want to oppress you. They want to cause you all kinds of problems, but they can't. It's really time for the church to get a vision. Instead of saying, oh, I'm being attacked by the devil. I'm under attack. I've heard that so much over the last 42 years. I'm sick of it. We are never under anything. If the enemy's coming at us, he's coming at us this way from down below. As we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's time for the church to get a different vision. Instead of the devil attacking us, that every time we show up, he runs and hides. He is terrified. He is terrified of a unified, believing body that knows who they are. Amen. I'm going to have to quit. I need an interpreter. That way we can get in this flow, you know. Hallelujah. It was so amazing. Sister Betty calls Augustine my twin brother. And I've called him my brother for years, but she calls him my twin brother because we are so much alike, it's unreal. Even to the point that when things are going on and we're kind of nervous, we both do this. Both of us. That's a sensory thing. I do that because it helps people. It's a sensory thing. Amen. It kind of keeps me centered and keeps me from blowing up. So a lot of times I'll be rubbing my fingers like this or else doing this. When it's desperation, it's this. Come on, Jesus. Amen. But he does the same thing. Betty poked me in one of the services that was going a little longer than it was supposed to. Choirs was supposed to sing one song, they sung two. And Betty poked me and he said, look at your twin brother. She said, look at your twin brother. Looked over there and he was sitting there going. I tell everybody over there, I put my arm around him, I say, This is my brother. Can you see the resemblance? But the great thing is, I don't have to fly over to Africa to have the glory of God. We took the glory with us. And we found it when we got there. But I gotta, I'm just gonna tell you something. We've went through some grief. We've went through some pressing. We've went through some pushing. There's glory that is laid up for us. Hallelujah. This region is beginning to experience an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it didn't happen just because it's happening. It happened because some people started saying 14 years ago, there's a man named Chuck and his wife, Denise, and Terry, I'm sorry. Praise God. Hallelujah. Boy, I about started a rumor there, didn't I? Terry. There's somebody else named Denise. Chuck and Terry. 14 years ago, they started prayer meetings. Come in this area and started prayer meetings. They have labored for 14 years trying to pull people together to get them to pray. I didn't meet Brother Chuck and Sister Terry until a couple of years ago. How we could be in the same area for 14 years and not know each other, I don't know. But God wasn't ready. We would have irritated the life out of each other a few years ago. Amen. God had to get us to the point where we could get along. Amen. You put two hard-headed, hard-driving people in the same room, you got to have some unity. Amen. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I tell people on Wednesday morning, our prayer meeting on Wednesday morning, I said, you know what the greatest miracle is? That room is full of sometimes 30 to 40 type A personalities, and we get along and pray. That's the greatest miracle there is. We actually have unity, and we got a bunch of my way or the highways in there. I believe it was 14 years, they started trying to pull people together to get them to pray. They've not had cooperation from churches. They've not had cooperation from people. They've not had cooperation from much of anything, but they kept going. They kept gathering people to pray, and they just kept moving in prayer. Hallelujah. And in the last couple of years, after a whole bunch of this, after a whole bunch of pushing, and a whole bunch of pressing, and a whole bunch of fasting, and a whole bunch of working, they all of a sudden begin to see a crack begin to form in the wall that was trying to hold the glory of God back. And all of a sudden that crack begin to widen. And pretty soon people begin to get through the crack into the presence and glory of God. And prayer meetings start forming all over this country and all over this area. And now we're beginning to see the result of many years of somebody going through some grief so that they could get to the glory. I'd preach all day if y'all'd stay here. I'm serious. Hallelujah. Because we are getting ready. We are now experiencing what has been called down, called up, worked for, fought over many years by a whole lot of people. I have not spent months and months locked in a room praying for nothing. I've spent months and months praying and seeking God because I want His glory. I want to see a move of the Spirit of God. Where do you stop on? Stand up. Hallelujah. Lately, God's began to assemble a whole lot of people that have been in the caves seeking God privately and hungering after the presence of God. Feeling isolated, feeling like they didn't fit. But lately, God has been gathering those people together. All of a sudden, we're walking out of the cave holding our hand up because of the light. We're not used to the light. the prayer warriors that have been in the back room for years is all of a sudden begin to walk out of the back room into the front room. And they're saying, wow, we're finally getting there. Amen. The worshipers that have worshiped for years and believe for an outpouring, believe to hear the sound of, oh, listen to me. There are worshipers that have been worshiping for years because they have one desire. They want to hear heaven come to earth. They want to be one with heaven. They want to hear the sound of heaven on earth. That's happening right now. That's happening right now. Hallelujah. We're entering into a time where when we get together to worship, there's going to be a sound that is going to reverberate through every cell of our beings, and it's going to reach up into heaven. It's going to reach every direction. Why? Because heaven and we become one with heaven. I'm going to tell you one thing. Don't stop. We got to keep praying. We got to keep worshiping. We got to keep fighting. We got to keep preaching. We got to keep sharing the gospel. You know why? Because I can see it in my spirit. Just like I saw it in that one church. When we begin to give the altar call, all of a sudden people start coming from every direction. Looks like a stampede of people coming. Why are they coming? Because all of a sudden the truth got inside of them. They heard something that pierced their heart, and now they're coming to say, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I denounce the demons. I denounce the religions. I denounce all the former things, but I declare Jesus Christ as being Lord of my life, and I want him. Hallelujah. I see that happening right here in this region. I see millions, can I say it? Millions of people coming to Jesus and coming and saying, I'm tired of all this stuff. I want Jesus. Sang, they'd practice a song in English. They got up there and began to sing, You Are Alpha and Omega. It's what I was going to be preaching on that morning. You are Alpha and you are Omega. Hallelujah. Worthy. 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 Everybody put one foot back. Get in this stance right here. Come on. You know what this stance means? You can try, but you ain't pushing me down. This stance means I've got one direction. I've got one direction. I'm not going back. I've got one direction. Hallelujah. Have you got your mind made up this morning? If there's anybody in this house today that needs to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and your Savior, if you need to have the backsliding spirit healed in you. I want you to get out of your seat and come forward right now. You say, I'm not going to run anymore. I'm not going to run anymore. I'm coming to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, sing it, sis. Hallelujah. Come on. I want to know how many of us today are ready to see the answers of God. We've pressed, we've prayed, we've worshiped, we've pushed. The door is cracking open. We're walking through. If you can say with me today, I have no backup in me. I'm pushing forward. If you can say that, I want you to come join me up front today. Hallelujah. Make a forward motion.